This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 67 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Index Fund Advisors, IFA.com. Horsemanship Radio is a part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have, it's Girls Day, because we have some great stories. We have Pat Roberts telling us all about her experience at Windsor Castle with the Royal Windsor Horse Show. And we have Ada Gates, Farrier International. She is now actually calling in farrier work. We've got to tell you how this works. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thanks for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th of the month, and I have my producer, Jen, with me today. Hi, Jen.
Greetings, Debbie. Hey. Nice to be back.
Good. Thanks for coming back. I wanted to hear a little bit more about, we have a stage two of the Nigel story. You've been holding out on me, and I want to hear this, you brave girl. It sounds like you're going to set out to do something new on top of Nigel. I want to hear about.
Yes, I'm working on getting Nigel 2.0 programmed.
Yeah.
And I, among other things, this past week, I discovered that Nigel is donkey phobic.
Oh, really?
Yes. He is not just concerned about donkeys. He's genuinely donkey phobic.
Donkey phobic. So never seen one? Is that your impression?
I would be surprised if he had never seen one. I mean, donkeys are just ubiquitous here in Central Florida.
Oh, is that right?
But he definitely has issues with donkeys. There's no doubt about that. We're strolling gently down our street back here. We live in a subdivision, which is very quiet. There's only one entrance and exit. So the only people who drive around back here live here.
Huh. Okay.
And strolled along, and a paddock that I know a donkey lives in. The donkey, his favorite thing to do is hide behind his little Palomino horse friend. And whenever we get near him, what he does is he ducks under the Palomino's neck. So he pops out from underneath of the Palomino at a dead gallop.
Oh.
And surprises the horses. And he just loves it. And then he races down the fence, and it's in the shade. So he did this to Nigel, and Nigel did a sit and spin.
Oh.
Not an easy thing to do when you're 16'2 and 1,100 pounds.
Gosh, yeah.
And we did it across the road.
Oh.
And there was skidding involved.
Oh.
And,
yes. He has skateboards for feet, too.
He has skateboards for feet. He absolutely does. They're built a lot like skateboards. But we got over into some grass where it was safe, and we walked back and forth, and we communicated gently until he started to breathe again.
Oh, poor guy.
Poor guy was holding his breath. So he does have a good spook. That was my first discovery.
Is that right? That's the first one you wrote out, huh?
That was his first spook since I got him. Absolutely.
Oh boy. And does the donkey continue to taunt, or does he finally give up the
gun? Oh no, the donkey will taunt. Donkey does not give up.
Oh.
Donkey
is so mean.
And he's okay with donkeys from a distance. Mm-hmm. It's when donkeys come to the fence and threaten to attack him.
Well, that's anything. Yeah.
It's a zombie donkey is what that is.
Yeah, zombie donkeys. And with all those ears, it does look pretty scary.
I thought, this is a good time to think about going back to some more basics, because I've been doing a lot of basic work with him. Nothing advanced, a lot of ground poles and groundwork and stuff to help him get a little bit better clued into where his giant 6-inch wide platypus feet are.
Yeah. Is he still hitting wood every time he jumps over the Cavalettis? Not jumps.
I have seen an improvement.
Oh, good.
We've stepped back a little bit and doing mostly walk work. But I'm really spending a lot of time rebalancing him so that when he gets to said ground pole or Cavaletti, he's been pre-balanced.
Good. Yeah. Is he, you've got the dually halter on him. You're using the dually now.
I'm riding him in a bridle right now, but what I'm going to do, he has learned behaviors with the bridle. He's very good at getting a little bit behind the bit. And when they do that, they can fall on their forehand.
Mm-hmm. He's big.
And he's a big boy. And he's learned that behavior.
Mm.
And what he'll do then is I have to ask him to half halt and come back up to the bit instead of below it and behind it. Mm-hmm. And then he gets a little bit excited. I can feel his adrenaline going up because he's going, oh, you're going to make me do things that are hard. Make me think hard, make me work hard. And those are learned behaviors. So, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to take that bit out of your mouth and ask you to do the exact same skill with my body, but the bit's going to be different. And I found in the past, especially with ex-racehorses, that's enough of a change that they kind of go off that loop. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going, oh, this is a new skill, when in fact it's not.
Exactly. They can't lean on it nearly as much. I mean, they don't feel that.
They don't have quite the need. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can certainly ride badly and teach horses to lean on a side pull like that. I've seen people do it. You can, a human being can deaden any horse to any aid if we try hard enough.
That's it.
Right? So if I play my cards right, he's going to see that as a new learned behavior, and he's going to try a little bit harder to sit back onto his hocks and carry himself through those ground pulls. But I'm going to get him onto the long lines, so he's double lunging.
Good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Work with the long lines first, because
get them in frame. Do you have a little surcingle you can?
I do.
Thread through. Perfect.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do that a little bit. And then I'm going to move that onto riding onto his back, and I'm going to start doing some work with the poles a little bit more random, because he's done ground poles zillions of times. And again, learned behavior. He knows that once he gets to that first pole, he can carry himself in a certain way to get through the poles, because they're pre-measured. You know, when you do a trot pole, it's always between 4 and 4.5 feet apart. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. So he doesn't think about it. He's just on autopilot. And I want him to think about where his feet are. That's where the crux of the issue is. He doesn't think where his feet are. He just goes.
Yeah. And he needs to start depending on you a little bit to instruct. So when he starts listening, when you break up the routine a little bit, when they really kind of lean on you.
He's going to ask me, well, what am I supposed to do, rather than just plowing through it? What next? And this is a fun, interesting, and comfortable way for him. It's going to be comfortable physically, because it's not hard work for his poor malnourished body existing on cheese puffs.
Yeah.
But it's going to make
his potato.
A couch that's potato. Right. But it's going to engage him mentally. And that's really what I want to. I want to engage him mentally so that physically he can become stronger.
Really good idea. Yeah. Really good idea. I want to hear some more about that too. We have there, for those who are using the Monty Roberts University too, there are some great freelancy kind of from the ground long lining exercises that Dad does with Chrome, with his Western reining horse. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to see just the creativity in that, you know, because Western reining horses, some people train them just to a routine, and my gosh, I would just go brain dead. And then there's another big horse that he uses, Bugatti's, this big dressage horse from Germany. And this horse was a real spooky horse, and it certainly didn't know much about going backwards or any of those things, you know, dressage.
You dare to do that when you're a dressage horse. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this horse, he gets on the ground. He's on the ground, and he's got Cavalletti poles. He ends up unclipping and just using hand gestures to back this big warm blood horse back through an L. Cavalletti's on the ground, and through a pinch in some panels. Mm-hmm. So he has a kind of an hourglass narrow area. And there's so many fun things you can do. And when, you know, there's a little bit of intelligence in there, it's so stimulating for them too.
Exactly. They have fun. I love to stimulate them mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they start looking at you like, what are we going to do next? And this is fun. And sometimes it's hard, but you know, it's just really, it's a fun thing to do with your horse that breaks up the routine.
Yeah, exactly.
And gives them a little muscling too. You know that?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like doing Tai Chi or yoga for a human. You're exercising core muscles. And exercising isn't just about getting the respiration up. You know, so many of us will trot 20-meter circles till we're blue in the face.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we've got to do some cross training there. Now, when I go to my Monty Roberts University and sign in, what would be a good search term to put up there in the search bar? Because I know you have all kinds of keywords attached to these videos.
We do. We do. And we're getting better at that, too. Yeah. Let me
test it out. Test it out right now, live.
I'm doing it right
on the Horsemanship Radio Show.
Yeah. If we were live, it would be live. So we just divided the lessons up into categories, and this would be groundwork foundational and groundwork advanced. So if you go to the groundwork advanced, you'll see some of those. Well, let me start with groundwork foundational. Be things like the dually dance, where you really get the horse watching your feet. Because just like the leader out in the herd, I was going to say the mare, but it's whoever's leading that pasture is the leader out. They control the feet. And by that, I mean, literally, you can watch them move their feet and the other horses either back off moving in the same pace or go forward as driven. So anyway, things like the dually dance and the long lining and advanced long lining are really fun. The advanced long lining is what I was just talking about with Chrome, where Dad starts with the elementary procedures for advanced techniques, and then he uses ground poles, and then he does some fancy footwork in probably what you're going to be doing, which is the double lines and the surcingle and just getting that horse in frame. And then he does extreme long lining where he zigzags, you know, he takes them through the weave poles kind of thing. And then quality time afterward, which is really important too, Jen. We should say that out loud too. Once they've gone through this and it's like, whew, that was tiring and fun and all that, spend a little quality time with them too, just taking the pressure off. So that lesson is a really good one I could take people to.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just great. Called advanced long lining. And then the other one with the Bugatti is... another one is training the young horse. That's a fun one because you get to see from first saddle all the way through to the long lining session on that horse.
Oh, so that's a great one for folks who have horses that have not experienced any of this before. Whether he's, even if it's an older horse, if he's not experienced long lining or any of this before, that's a great place to start.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you see that horse without a rider on, without the challenge of having to listen to a rider and all the things that are going on with that, just from the ground, start to understand how to turn left, how to turn right, and what that side pull feels like. And without the complication of legs. But then sometimes we even increase the complication of legs by just putting, we wrap up some tarp or rubber boots and throw them over the saddle, you know, and just let those dangle around too without, you know, there's no cues coming from them, but they're just something on their sides. So that's for the young horse. And then any of the Monty's Tour demonstrations, those are amazing because that's done in front of a live audience. And you've got a pinched amount of time. You've got about 30 minutes to work with a horse that he's never worked with before. And the owner comes, you know, exasperated saying, whatever the issue is, won't stand still for mounting, won't load in the trailer. And in, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, the whole lesson's 10 minutes, but you get to see a condensed formula of that. You get to see how he breaks down those steps to get that horse at least on the road to getting over that issue or creating a comfortable spot for that training. So anyway, it's just really good. And people can write me, debbie@montyroberts.com, and ask me to for specific issues that they're having.
See, that's the joy. There's somebody that they can talk to.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. You know, and if you're a student already and you're on the uni, you can hit the support tab. And guess who you get? Hello, it's me again.
You get Debbie. Yay!
I am support too.
And I use Debbie for support a lot, people. Don't be afraid.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah, no, it's fun. Actually, the forum is the best in the world. It really, I've never seen anything negative on that forum, and people help each other. So that, to me, that's the secret sauce right there, too, is we all help each other.
Well, one of the other things that Nigel has going for him right now are his big flat feet.
Yeah.
And I do believe we've got a guest coming on today.
Oh, yes, we do. Ada Gates. People are going to love Ada Gates. If you haven't heard Ada Gates before, there's nobody on earth like her, and she is the absolute top farrier on earth. She will tell it like it is. Monty's used her since the 1970s because nobody is as honest, forthright, and as talented as Ada Gates.
Hi, I'm Mark Hebner, president of Index Fund Advisors and proud owner of Monty Roberts Willing Partners graduate, He's a Sugar Bear. You know, investment portfolios are a lot like horses. You need to find one that best suits you, your temperament, and your stage of life. Some people might like an energetic horse and an aggressive investment portfolio, while others are more comfortable with a gentle ride and a more conservative investment portfolio. The trick is to find the one that's right for you. That's what Index Fund Advisors is all about. Matching people with portfolios, risk-appropriate, low-cost, and globally diversified investment portfolios. You can find the right portfolio for you by taking the Risk Capacity Survey at ifa.com. That's IFA as an Index Fund Advisors. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-643-3133. That's 888-643-3133. 3133.
In 1978, Ada became the first woman farrier licensed to shoe thoroughbred racehorses in the United States and Canada. Her unique status gave her great opportunities, including guest appearances on Late Night with David Letterman, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, and The Today Show. Ada's also been the subject and author of many magazine and newspaper articles. Her dedication to the industry has led to many years of selfless service, including ferry liaison for the 1984 Olympic Games, official horseshoe inspector for the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Parade, and member of the California Thoroughbred Foundation Board of Directors. She's been a presenter of various seminars there. In 2008, Ada received the Edward Martin Humanitarian Award at the American Farriers Association Convention in Lexington, Kentucky, and she was invited and served on the Farrier Committee for the All-Tech FEI World Games in Lexington in 2010. Well, welcome back. Hi, Ada Gates.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad to have you back on. It's always good to hear your voice, too, and I hear you've been having some adventures. What you been up to?
Well, I got this extraordinary phone call from a gentleman in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He called me and said he had a horse in Panama, a racehorse, with a suspensory problem, and that it had been recommended to him to put wedge shoes on the horse. And he looked all over the United States, everywhere, for racing aluminum wedge shoes, couldn't wow. find them, called Santa Anita Racetrack all the way from North Carolina, got the stable office, told them what he needed, and they said, oh, there's only one person you can
that's
talk
right.
to. And that's Ada Gates, and here's her phone number.
Good.
So this extraordinary connection came through, and this gentleman told me about his horse. And he's a doctor, Dr. Arouse Dutari. He is a periodontal implant doctor in North Carolina, but he is a Panamanian gentleman and has racehorses there, and he had this issue, and he asked me if I could help him. And I said, well, let's see. Wedges on suspensories. May I please tell you,
yeah.
we don't want to do that. And I will tell you that when you raise a heel, it acts like the pulley gets a lot more tension over the ankle. When you raise the heel, this pulley action happens and stresses the tendons even
right.
more. And rather than resist me, he right. said, oh, I understand completely. I said, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I said, what we need to do is we need to get this horse back to ground zero. We mm-hmm. need to get this horse perfectly balanced, flat, his foot under his leg, and then let's see where we are. And the way we can do that is I'm going to send you this kit that has a ruler in it, instructions, a DVD, and it's going to tell you exactly how to trim the foot perfectly balanced, 50-50 in the front, 50-50 inside, outside. He said, oh, okay, well then what's next? And I said, well, once you get this, he said, well, I'll take it to Panama. I'm going to go down to Panama. I'll take this kit with me. I said, fine.
Good
and
man.
That's what we'll do. We're going to shoe the horse on the telephone. He said, really? I said, yes. You yeah. go to Panama. You get your team gathered. Get the horse. And you call me. And on a speakerphone, I'm going to tell you how to shoe this horse.
Well, he not said, the doctor. He's got a guy down there, right?
No, he had the farrier. He has
yeah.
a farrier and a vet, and a, you know, he's got his team down there.
He's got a team, yeah, good.
Team.
Yeah.
So he said, that's wonderful. And that's exactly what we did, Debbie. We shod a racehorse in Panama on the telephone.
Oh, my gosh. Is that a first for you? Is that the first time?
Yes.
Good. It's amazing.
Yes. And so off we went on the telephone at the appointed hour, and I said, look, oh, and I said, he had already sent me photographs of the horse
okay.
and a video of him, the horse walking
oh,
towards
Oh, good.
Me.
Okay, good.
So I, now, these, yeah, go ahead.
Was he sore? Was he, what, why did he call you in the first place? And I mean, and
well,
why
he had a,
go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The horse apparently had strained his suspensory ligaments
mm-hmm.
and was not doing well. Unbeknownst to me at the moment, he moved the horse from one stable over to his to another stable to a new trainer and mm-hmm. a new horseshoer
okay.
and a new veterinarian.
Okay.
So we were going to start new in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse was not head bobbing lame, but he he clearly had an issue.
Yeah.
So I described to them all the things that I wanted them to look at before we even got started.
Okay, tell us.
And I said, look at the coronet and how it kind of bumps up high back at the heel. That shows he's stressing and the heel is pushing up at the coronet.
Mm-hmm.
Look how the foot is not underneath the leg. Look how one heel is higher than the other. He's not landing flat.
Mm-hmm.
Look how the angle of the pastern is different from the angle of the hoof capsule. Broken back, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. And worst of all was the heels were very high and pushed forward. So the heel was supporting the front of the leg, not the back of the leg, mm-hmm. which is where we really need the heel to be to support the back of the leg.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through all of this, and I told him that the right front, it was pointing. The horse did not want to put weight on the right front. So I said, we're going to do that foot first. This horse is not head bobbing lame, but he is not comfortable.
Yes.
I also want you to look at him as he's walking towards you. Look at his gait. His neck is stiff.
Mm-hmm.
His head is held a little high. His ears are back. The eyes are kind of glazed over. And the gait is rather short.
He's in pain.
I just want you to notice all of these things.
Yeah.
And they did. So I said, let's start on the foot that he doesn't want to stand on because we don't want to stress him.
Yeah.
And so we went through the whole action mm-hmm. of correctly trimming this foot according to measuring it. And that whole process is on Monty's extraordinary website, his university website. And if you click into Farrier, I'm just one of 300 lessons that Monty has on his website and on this, in this Farrier portion. It shows you exactly what we did in Panama.
I see.
What anybody could do.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you for the plug for the university. But you're only
for $9 a month.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Debbie, for $9 a month, everybody has 300 lessons, and they can and they're worldwide.
Yeah,
and they cover everything.
Yeah, just so, like you in Panama. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
But you know what? I love that you're scientific about it too, because there's so much craziness out there, Ada.
Okay.
We don't know what to listen to anymore about trimming our horses. So tell them about a little bit about the measuring and why that's such a universal science, that it really is the one thing you can grab in a horse's hoof.
Well, you have to ask yourself, if a contractor is building your house, does he just kind of look at the foundation and say, gee, it looks level to me? No. He puts an instrument on that foundation to make sure that it is totally level.
Good point.
And we do the exact same thing with a ruler because we know that the eye will lie to us. Our goal is to have 50% of the mass of the hoof in front of the center of the hoof and 50% behind, like a perfect seesaw, a little teeter-totter. Perfectly balanced, 50% of mass in front, 50% behind. And we achieve that by first taking off the flares of the hoof. We don't want any flares. Flares are enemies because a thickening in the wall will draw the foot to that thickening in his mm-hmm. gait. I mean, he'll swing out and swing wide and come back in. Horses travel to height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
So we take off the flares, we trim the toe where we want it to be, we measure what that toe length is. Well, when we started, it was 2.5 at the toe and 2 at the heel, so it was clearly out of balance.
Right.
Way too much mass in front, not enough behind.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the process, and the horseshoer was very good.
He was listening.
He was listening, mm-hmm. and it was all being translated.
Oh, yes,
the doctor
right.
had flown to Panama. And he had me on speakerphone, and I was speaking English, and then he would speak in Spanish to the
You had a doctor being your interpreter. That's great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And so we finished the job, and I said, now look, before you put that foot down, stop. when that horse puts his foot down on the ground in a perfectly, now has his heel back behind his leg and his toe is not way out in front of him, he's perfectly balanced. Look at his body. Excuse me. Watch his body. Look at his neck. Look at his head. Look at his ears. Don't look at the foot. So here we go. The horse puts his foot down. Immediately, the horse drops his head. His ears go forward. His eyes soften. He starts licking and chewing, which is what I told them he was going to do. And he also let out a huge exhale of air.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. And when they exhale, you know.
Yeah, he's relieved.
They're really falling into a deep relaxation and comfort.
Mm-hmm. Well done. So did he say muy bueno or did he say gracias or something?
Well, he started crying out. He said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, my horse is doing this. I wish you could see it. I wish you could see it. I said, I do see it. I see it in my heart's eye.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. Because you've done a million of these. Yeah, they can't lie. That's it. And they tell us so much if we can read that language. Yeah? Well, you're extraordinary at that. You know, you ought to get a Skype. I can see a business now where you get people calling and say, here's my Skype. I'm going to point it at my, I got you my iPad or something and point it at the horse, you know. And what's keeping you from internationally doing shoeing all day long?
I think you. This is a good start. This is a good start. Anyway, we did the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse, he just couldn't stop licking and chewing.
Wow.
So then they walked the horse for me, and they filmed the horse coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And his head was way almost on the ground. His body was undulating and rhythmic when before it was tight and stiff and had no rhythm to it whatsoever. And he was, even as he came up to the camera, he started licking and chewing again.
Oh, how cute. That's your reward, isn't it, Ada?
Yeah, that's the reward. The doctor was beside himself.
I would be. Yeah.
He
it's
was so,
so great.
Excited.
When you get it right. Ugh. Yeah.
He was so happy. And even the night before, you know, they had all watched that DVD from Monty's website. You know, they had taken the trouble to educate themselves the night before. So it wasn't really, you know, a cold call, so to speak. They they knew what was waiting for them. They just needed me to help them through step by step to do it.
Perfect.
And they did a great job.
Perfect. Well, so did you. That and great that you had an extension of an arm of a good farrier that would do what you asked him to do too. I had a couple of questions. Because some people may not have heard your earlier interviews or may not know the science behind. But some people, when we're talking about the hoof, we're a little confused sometimes about what naturally occurs in an individual horse's hoof and what occurs because of human intervention, you know, when we're shoeing the horse or whatever. So there's hoof conformation, and I think we can safely say that that is influenced by humans. And then there's hoof anatomy, which is the natural way that the horse's hoof is going to grow. Where does that line divide when you work with a horse? How much are you overcoming hoof conformation because you're fixing something that a farrier did versus working with a horse's hoof to make it just more optimal than maybe his natural growth?
Well, that's a very good question. I hope I understand it correctly. The hoof is going to reflect the leg. Uh-huh. And 99.9% of horses do not have, you know, straight legs. They turn out, they turn in. Mm-hmm. And so the foot and the conformation of the foot is simply following the direction of the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, because the leg is slightly crooked, now the foot lands harder on one side than the other. There's more stress on one side than the other. The hoof that gets, the side of the hoof that gets less stress starts to flare out.
Mm-hmm.
And the hoof, the side of the hoof that gets the most pressure gets jammed up on the inside, gets very straight. The outside gets very wide and flared. And what we want to do, our goal is to take away all those flares, have an even hoof wall all around, have 50% of the mass in front of center, 50% behind, and instantly, that foot is under the leg.
So it's you're not taking 2 months to trim and trim.
No,
and
do it one time. No, yeah. You just do one time. It's done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you go all the way. Your father said, "Oh, Ada, you're not gonna do that all at once." I said, "Oh, yes, I am.
Watch this.
This horse is crying to be right." Yeah.
Right. That's it.
And so the horse that's left unattended is just going with his crooked leg. Is just going to grow a crooked foot. Mm. So all we do is pull that foot back into a perfect roundness and a perfect 50-50, and it automatically puts it under the leg. And then you have to keep it up. You have to trim, 21 days, 30 mm-hmm. days, 60 mm-hmm. days, 80 days. It just depends. You have to look at it and make sure that you maintain that trim correctly.
Mm-hmm. Are some of the normal feet, are they breed specific too? Or discipline probably creates some issues, but no breed has. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Nope.
Good.
Well, yep. A Clydesdale has a big, wide, flat foot, and a little quarter horse has a kind of round, cuppy foot. But the center of the foot, forever and ever until the end of time, is 3/4 of an inch back from the active tip of the frog.
See, that's so interesting.
Isn't that
interesting?
I have no idea how that happens, but it is totally true.
Yeah, explain the mean, how you measure, how you use. You created that tool based on science.
Well,
so tell us about that.
Yes, the golden mean has been in universal thought for over 5,000 years, and the golden mean is the mathematic formula that's sort of 1/3 and 2/3, but it's more specific than that. And what else do we call it? The golden mean. We call it, there's other names that it's used. Artists use it when they paint paintings. The facade of the Parthenon is a perfect golden mean, and the hoof itself is a perfect golden mean. Our knuckles on our hands, the whole dimensions of our bodies are all a perfect golden mean, and there's a way to measure that, and I have a little measuring tool that just simply confirms that the 50-50 on the bottom shows a golden mean measurement from the bottom to from the hairline down. Mm-hmm. It's a little complicated to explain on a phone, but
it makes perfect sense when you tell us that it is something that you find in nature, and that we're trying to get to that ideal that nature has built into this cone, which is called
That's
a hoof.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I just love that, because it does get confusing. And when you can say things and just cut to the chase like that,
we are all perfectly made. Nature, God, our higher powers, whatever one wants to believe in or not believe in, we are all perfectly made. Mm. And all we need to do is allow that horse to be in his perfect balance.
Yeah.
And in his perfectly made conformation, even
You're
with his crooked legs. We can't do anything about crooked legs, Debbie. Mm-hmm. He knows where his crooked leg is going. We just make sure that that foot is right under that leg.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So what's set for this horse now in Panama? Is he going to go back into racing? Are they happy?
Well, I tell you what, this lovely doctor, Dr. Arauz Dutari, has called me and emailed me and sent me pictures and videos. And he said, this horse is so good. He's so happy and he's going forward. And but I told him, I said, this horse needs a lot of rest. Suspensories need a lot.
Yeah,
of
that's it.
You and your veterinarians and trainer, you're going to know when he's ready. I'm not a veterinarian, but he's so happy, and we're trying to get down to Panama. The foot's a little trashy. It's kind of mushy and humid down there, and the foot, thin-walled and not very strong. And I'm trying to get Farrier's formula made by Life Data Labs in Alabama down to Panama, but it's tough shipping into foreign countries. They have a lot of restrictions.
Yeah, wouldn't you know?
They
can ship everything up here, but we can't. I know you do have to be careful.
We're working
we'll have to
on
make
that.
A trip. Maybe we have to make a trip to Panama. Want to do
it? Yeah. Well,
it.
That's easy peasy.
We'll just jump on a plane. Maybe get busted for having formula in our bag.
Exactly. Well, and I told the trainer, I said, you and your horseshoer, you need to measure every horse in your barn.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what? Really? I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Take a horse who's not lame. You're just training him. He's doing well. Trim him with this perfect, clock him. Go out and run him and clock him mm-hmm. in the morning. And then trim him. Wait a couple of days. Let his muscles and shoulders, you know, relax into his new, happy, relaxed, balanced foot. And then run him again.
And clock him again workout. And see how fast.
I can guarantee you, you're going to get a faster time.
Yeah.
And aren't you in the business of winning?
Well, that's all they get paid for, actually, is crossing that line first. That's right. Oh, thanks for sharing that story. That's a fun story. I love it when people get breakthrough moments with their horses, you know, and this guy has now found the mother load in you.
The owner is, and he said, oh, I'm so glad you're tied up with Monty Roberts. I've admired him for so many years. I know who he is, and I know his training. I mean, he was just 1,000% lined up with everything.
You've got him.
It was a pleasure to work with him.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. So where do people contact you, Ada, if they want to start this new business where they send their videos?
Okay. I'll give you my telephone. It's 626-327-3650.
All right.
They can go on Monty's website or my website, which is harrypatton.com, harrypatton.com. That's my blacksmith shop. Okay. And they can see the ruler and how it works and see a little kind of video. It's $35. And my email is adagates1@gmail.com. But you can call the shop. You can go into harrypatton.com.
That's great. That's great. I want to see a lot of more comfortable horses licking and chewing.
Me too, Debbie.
That's
me too.
Fantastic. And keep bringing the stories to us, Ada.
I will, darling. And thank you for our lovely visit today. I love talking to you.
Me too, sweetie. We'll talk to you soon.
With you. Okay, Debbie. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We all hear about omega-3 and how important it is for your horse's nutrition. But why? Well, simply put, horses were created to get all of their nutrition from live natural grasses. Omega-3 is an essential fat found in many types of live grasses, and it's critical to the horse's health. If they were living on live grasses 24/7, they would be receiving enough omega-3. But in today's world, most horses are fed commercial feed and forage as their primary nutrition, and most of these are lacking in omega-3. That's where Omega Fields comes in. All of Omega Fields' flax-based products provide a balanced essential profile of omega 369 and may be helpful in alleviating problems related to skin, coat, hoof, joint, and sand colic. One of Omega Fields' terrific products is Omega Horseshine. Omega Horseshine is an omega-3 stabilized ground flaxseed supplement for horses to help maintain a shiny, healthy coat, strong, solid hooves, and top performance for horses in all life stages. Omega Fields provides the best human-grade, non-GMO ground flax that can help horses with dry, scaly, itchy skin, joint pain and inflammation, poor hoof growth, allergies, and more. Don't just listen to Debbie and I. Alexandra, a customer of Omega Fields, says any horse I ever own, I will feed them Omega Horseshine and I will recommend it to anyone. You can get your Omega Horseshine today at omegafields.com, or just for our listeners, get 15% off using the coupon code MONTY2015. All one word, it's MONTY2015 for 15% off your next order at omegafields.com. That's omegafields.com.
Pat. Kat Roberts is an accomplished horsewoman. She grew up loving horses and has trained, bred, and showed championship horses throughout her life. She met Monty Roberts in grammar school, and after marrying, they began their careers in horses together. A talented artist, it was natural for her to gravitate toward creating numerous sculptures. She does bronze of the horse in motion. Pat has been honored with many awards, and her sculpture is part of the permanent collection at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington and the European Museum of Art, as well as several corporate headquarters, both in the United States and abroad. She has collections and collectors in over 15 countries now, and she also happens to have one in the personal collection of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, at Windsor Castle. Well, welcome, Pat Roberts. Hi, Mom.
Hi there.
I'm so glad you could come on right away after your visit. I don't want to give it away yet. People might not know what we're talking about. So where were you last weekend?
I got on a plane and I went to England and directly to Windsor Castle as the guest of Her Majesty, who celebrated her April birthday at the Royal Windsor Horse Show over the weekend.
So
that's where I was.
And you were invited. It wasn't just like you bought a ticket to the horse show and said, I'm going.
No. We were the your dad. I met your dad there. He left home in March, and this is the first time we've caught up with one another. And he's been on tour, as you know. But anyway, we met there, and we were guests of Her Majesty, and we stayed at what's called the side door at Windsor Castle.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's across the yard from where the Queen has her apartments. But we were her guest, and we've stayed there before. And we had the same room. It's the Margaret Thatcher suite.
Oh, really? Oh, what's it look like?
It's quite large, and you know, it's rather fancy and nice and comfortable, and you know, we feel kind of at home there. Can you believe that?
How many times have you stayed there?
Well, we've been in the Margaret Thatcher suite now twice, but we've stayed there before, and we were in the Norman Tower, which is really interesting, because that's the tower that kings and queens and princes, people that the present king or queen didn't like, were incarcerated.
Oh, and you're kidding.
They would lock them in the Norman Tower, and what's so interesting about it, it's now where the governor resides, and we've been guests of the governor in the past, and there is one portion of the tower where these kings have taken something and written their names and put notes on a wall. And you can see it. It's protected. There's a plexiglass partition that you can look through. You can't touch it, but there it is. And it's just fascinating. I can't really remember all of them that we saw, because it's been a few years now since we've been in the Norman Tower, but it's really something.
So are you saying that the kings and queens and princesses were graffiti artists and they were signing these walls?
Well,
really,
what
it looks
else?
Like that?
When you're locked up in a tower,
okay,
what else is there to do?
Yeah, that's
so they,
true.
You know, they would say King whatever was here and the dates and you know, things like that. Yeah,
oh, that's so interesting. They probably said naughty things about whoever locked them up too. I don't want to hear that part.
No. Let's keep this a clean show.
This is a family show. That's right.
That's right.
How fascinating. Okay, so you got there and you settled in, and then you got to go to the show. So where did you sit and what did you see?
Okay, well, it's the Royal Windsor Horse Show that they have each year. And we've been there several times now, and particularly like during the Queen's Jubilee or her 80th birthday. And we sat in what's called the Royal Enclosure. And it's right, we sat, you know, I think the Saturday afternoon we were about three or four rows above the Queen. She was right on the front row. And then on Saturday night, we were also in that same area. And she didn't actually come to the show on Saturday, because it was really, once again, kind of a warm-up performance for the actual one that she was going to attend, which was Sunday evening. And then on Sunday evening, she was there and came in a beautiful carriage. and she and Prince Philip, and then behind in another carriage were Charles and Camilla.
Oh, fun.
And Edward was there, and Edward's wife, and he rode a horse on Sunday evening that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had given to the Queen. They named him Sir John, and that wasn't after Sir John Miller, I'm told. Oh, but I don't
okay,
know.
You asked, yeah.
Yeah, I asked, of course. Yeah. And then Edward rode him in on Sunday evening, and Anne was part of the parade, and it was amazing because during the entire performance, and they had lots of celebrities there, either like Helen Mirren was there, and she introduced some of the events that were happening that evening, but there was a huge screen, and they were showing photos of the Queen from the time that she was a little girl until present, and that was going on throughout in and out between different performances.
Oh, how beautiful! There were horses in most of those photos, I bet.
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd probably 80% of them have horses.
Listen to that. Yeah,
naturally,
yeah.
Because that's her love.
So would you want to see a progression of your life, or do you think it was flattering? I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, age is a terrible thing. Oh. I mean, it's not kind to us. I mean, and the longer we live, you know, uh-huh. which is a good thing.
She is 90.
She is 90, but I have to tell you that she looked radiant. She had a glow to her. She smiled the entire time. She looked like, I've never seen her look so happy. It was really special to see the Queen looking so well. And then there was Prince Philip, who's now 95 years old.
Right.
And he's still driving. Can you imagine?
Driving a carriage.
A carriage, yeah.
Yeah, they took his driver's license away.
No. They took his driver's license away a long time ago. But he's still driving those horses around the Windsor grounds, and he looks well too. They look both of them are looking really great.
Amazing. So horses do this. That's what it. That's the ingredient, isn't it?
That's it. That's exactly right. So just keep on riding and keep on, you know, spending your life around them because they're good for you.
Yeah. And I have to say, there is one heck of a photo of you and Dad outside the castle. And you're in this, what color would you describe that dress as?
Oh, mauve.
Okay. There you go.
It's just a really lovely kind of a royal color.
Oh, and perfect. Yeah. That's
yes. And, It was it's kind of a special. I've never had so many compliments on an outfit as I did, but it's probably because it's all over Facebook. Everyone that I talk to says, "Oh, I loved your dress."
It's beautiful. You guys look well, stunning. I don't know what else to say. You just do, and you know, I've got the post to back you up on the Facebook too. People will have to go there and see it. But you don't look your age. I'm so sorry to say, but you you guys are not acting your age either. So Dad's in top hat and tails. You have tails on
too?
That's
right. It's called a morning suit, actually.
Yeah.
And I thought it was always morning. It's not. It's morning. Oh. Did you know
like
that?
Like you're wearing to a funeral or something.
Exactly.
Huh?
Right.
It looked gorgeous, though. It really didn't look like he was in mourning at all.
No, he wasn't either.
Yeah.
He was full of smiles. And, of course, during the evening, well, to tell you, people that attended from all over the world. The King of Bahrain was there, mm-hmm. and they had three the largest cargo planes that possibly can fly, full of horses that they brought from the Mideast. Mm-hmm. And they had trick riders. They had and just every kind of horse that you could possibly want. And they would come through. They had. Some people from, is it Abershoo? How do you pronounce that, the country?
Oh my gosh, I've only seen it written. I don't know.
Aberdeen or something like that.
There
anyway,
you go.
You know what rodeos, how we have trick riders and everything? Well, they did all of those tricks. They did the the one that Edith Happy used to do so well, the hippodrome stand. They went underneath the belly of the horse, around the neck. They did the Cossack drags, and that was just one of the acts that they had. And then they had this man from France, Pignon, I believe is his name, who came into the arena with either 8 or 10 horses free and a small pony. And it was a really wonderful act. It was just fascinating. And, just everything about the show was exceptional. They had races for kids. They had, and on Saturday afternoon, we got to see the finals of the jumping. Mm-hmm. And the USA won, which was cool.
Yeah, how nice of them to do that for you. Yeah, I heard it was really
it was very
they
nice.
They won specifically because you were there, Pat.
Exactly.
You think that was it?
Because they have not been doing a lot of that lately.
I know.
Well, he won easy. And don't ask me his name because I don't really recall. But anyway, he'll probably be in the Olympics. And it's kind of a shame. I should have looked up his name, but I didn't. But anyway, we were excited.
Jen might know that, yeah.
She probably would. And then, of course, they played our national anthem. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And it was just each day was really special. We were there for the Saturday afternoon performance that evening. And then, of course, the final one where the Queen was in attendance that evening. And everything was geared to honor her. And that mm-hmm. was Sunday. So...
For her birthday, yeah.
For her birthday, yeah. That was the special one. But, she was there all afternoon for the Saturday performance, and she stayed to the very end, and almost, everyone was surprised that she stayed, but she was just having a great time.
Yeah, so she just roams the grounds, I understand, because there's various shows going on. Oh, tell the story about Terry Pendry and her winning one of the classes, or her horse winning one of the classes, and she accepted the award.
Oh, it was really super. It was one of the things that they were honoring her for and showing the public was what her interests are, and mm-hmm. of course she has cattle and she has. Dogs. She's got. Mm-hmm. They brought in two beautiful beef heifers, mm-hmm. and a couple of milk heifers, and then a little billy goat, mm-hmm. and then her dogs that they use for hunting, and then Perry rode in with several different people on different breeds, showing the different breeds that she shows and. Every year that I've been there in the morning, she's wandered around, and you would never, ever think that there's any security, but of course there is. Just don't mm-hmm. see them. It's very, very understated. But almost every year, she's won classes there, and this year was no exception. So anyway, her breeding programs are doing very well.
Doing well. Yeah, good.
Extremely. And they brought in four of her retired racehorses. With jockeys on, and they ran them around the arena, which was very cool.
Then,
of course, up on the screen, they showed she has a lovely mare that I think her name is Estimate, or something like that.
Yeah.
That had a baby this year, and they had photos or a video of that. And anyway,
I heard that was one of her top 10 favorites of all time horses, actually.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And she has two or three really nice prospects that your dad started for and set the program up this year. And one of the reasons that we were invited and honored was all of her trainers were there for Sunday evening and rode in Landau's across the arena while they were being announced. And at dinner earlier, I sat next to one of the thoroughbred trainer, not the jump trainer. And he said they're really happy about the horses, the way they're coming out of the program and they're doing better than ever. So anyway, Dad's doing good work.
He's they'll sign him up one more year to volunteer for that. Yeah, it's fantastic. No, and Carlton House, some people who have watched the the thoroughbred team that she sends around the world with these horses. Carlton House won the Australian Open, which was just, that was maybe two falls ago, I think. And that was just earth shattering because he really did well. And so that's come out of that program too, that Dad's been working through. So
that's true. Yeah. He's been in that program about 4 or 5 years now, I think.
Very exciting. So the story I heard is from that Terry was telling us is, we should mention that Terry Pendry is the head stud groom to the Queen and wasn't back in 89 when you and Dad first went over there, but later earned that position as somebody else retired. Did he move into Sir John Miller's position or was that different?
No, Sir John was at Equerry.
That's right.
Equerry is a person that coordinates all of the movement of everything, her horses, her cars, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Terry, it doesn't sound like it's a very high position when you say he's her head groom, but literally that is a very important position because he rides out with the Queen.
Yeah.
And she rides every day that she's at Windsor, she rides out in the morning. She doesn't ride those great big 17-hand warm bloods now. She's riding smaller horses, different breeds, cobs, and et cetera, et cetera. And Terry rides out with her. And I suspect that as long as Terry's around, she and Terry will be riding at Windsor in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a great – people can Google that. Google Queen Terry Pendry, and maybe fell pony or something. She's on a beautiful
like
fell
that.
Pony. Yep. She loves her fell ponies, and so Terry was with her when she accepted one of these horse show ribbons awards with her pony, and she wasn't riding the horse, but she's the owner.
No.
And so she takes the award and then opens up the envelope, and he encouraged her to open up the envelope.
You're gonna tell that story.
Yeah, I love it because I love a belly laugh out of the Queen. I just think that it's just precious. And she opens up, and it was a Tesco, which is their, you know, kind of lowly grocery store there. What was it, 50 pound?
It was a 50-pound gift certificate.
That's awesome. Who doesn't love grocery store gift certificates?
Oh,
well,
yeah,
I don't know if the Queen goes very often, but
somebody has to do the grocery shopping.
That's right. I'm sure.
I know. You know, a little aside, which it seems so strange to me, but they don't, a blue ribbon is designated for second place.
That's
it's a
red
ribbon for the winner.
That's
Did you know that?
They do everything opposite us. They drive on the wrong side of the road.
It's true.
We have a lot of UK friends who listen to this, so you're doing the right thing. Sorry.
Okay. Now, speaking of driving, which was really, really nice of them, but Jaguar Range Rover, through Terry, arranged for us to have this brand new, beautiful Range Rover to drive up and down the hill because the castle is way up high and you have to go down through fields and on roads to get to where the showgrounds are. So we drove around in this wonderful car. And, you know, Range Rovers didn't used to be very comfortable, but they've upped their ante there. So
no longer
we were very appreciative.
Yeah.
No.
Very nice. Yeah. I didn't even realize it was so far away. How far away is the castle from where the Royal Windsor Horse Show is held?
Well, but if you go by road, it's probably over a mile.
Oh, yeah. So it is pretty far.
It's right below the castle on the side that we, you know, where the side door is where we were staying, which is the opposite side that you see when you see pictures of your dad and I. That's the mews or the stable side that the pictures have all been taken. Well, it's the other side, and it's kind of a straight hill down. And in order to get down to the grounds, you have to drive past the Queen's residence and then down the hill and around through the fields. And I'm glad we didn't have to walk.
Yeah. Glad you got a Range Rover. That's really
right,
nice.
Right.
How fun. Yeah. People should go and see some of those photos too, because it's dramatic from the horse show arena to see the castle all lit up behind those photos. Cause it is up above.
It's
just
beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. And you know, one time, I don't know if it was the last time we were there, but at one time we were up there on the castle of the, I don't know, what do you call the ramparts, I guess maybe
okay.
ramparts.
Red
and
glare.
We watched, and they had fireworks And we watched them from there, and they were spectacular. It was awesome. But there weren't any this year for some reason.
Budgets. Anyway, that's all right.
You're right.
It's a great story. It's a great experience. Aren't you glad you got to go through it?
I am so pleased. I've been so privileged, both your dad and I, to have been involved and invited personally by Her Majesty to be involved in all of these wonderful celebrations of her life, her jubilee, her birthdays, and it's very, very special. We're lucky.
It is. Well, blessed. And I should say, too, that you've got sculpture, your bronze, in the castle. There's two of them
at Windsor. There's Moment of Join Up, and there's Miss Tessie, the English lady riding a side saddle. Western side saddle, yes. So that's when your dad visits, he sees them. He says, "So they're there.
They're still there. Yeah,
they're still there." She has quite a collection of bronzes that people have given to her over the years, but most of them are up at Sandringham. I've seen the collection there.
Beautiful.
That's also where her Fabergé collection is.
Oh, I'd love to see that. So
it's awesome. There's a whole room for her Fabergé.
Oh my! You've seen it.
I've seen it. I've been to Sandringham. Yes.
We've got to send you back with a good phone with a good camera.
I know. I really do need to update my phone.
More snapshots.
We do more photos. We need them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for getting the ones you did. I totally feel privileged because I know the media. I heard the media was very strict on this one. They're very protective.
Oh, they only had 3 official photographers. And I don't know how many videographers, but it was very tight. And I saw something that I'd never seen before when I've been there at the Royal Windsor Horse Show. In fact, when we were in the reception room prior to Sunday's evening's performance and dinner, they sent in a sniffer dog in the room.
Oh, good.
And then we were overlooking the grandstand and the seating, and they had all kinds of sniffer dogs going through everything. So security was much tighter this year than ever in the past.
That makes me feel better, actually, because the time when we were out at the Guards Polo at Windsor Polo Grounds there, I couldn't identify any. I mean, it was just amazing. It's relaxing, but it's kind of nerve-wracking, too, when you don't think there's any security around you.
Oh, I know. The first time, I don't know how long ago, but it was a long time ago. One day I was in the mews, and here goes the queen, or here comes the queen and Prince Philip, and in a Jaguar, and the queen is driving, and they head off to town by themselves. There was no one around. But, times are a little bit different, too, now.
I don't know.
That might have been the first time I was there, which was back in 1989.
I think she's been snapped a few times in her Range Rover without any. She's just driving.
She sneaks out. She's got moxie, the queen.
She does.
Right.
I love it.
She does. And she's just, very independent. She's a great lady.
Great lady.
We admire. And she's beloved by her most people. And your dad feels that she's the greatest influence in the world at this point with regard to the treatment of horses and people.
Mm-hmm. So, I think so, anyway. Too. Yeah, generations now. My goodness, she has. Mm-hmm. She's been supportive. Well, great. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that story, Mom. It's really precious to hear it from somebody who was there.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Good. We'll have you back for the next round, whatever that may be. You guys are, we have to keep up with you.
Well, okay.
Thanks, Pat. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome. It's great talking with you, both of you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Whisper the language of the herd. Listen, you don't have to say a word.
It's time for Jamie Jennings to fetch an email from Monty Roberts' inbox and share a morsel of Monty's wisdom in a little segment we like to call Ask Monty.
Leave this world a better place than mine. The magic in the language of the herd.
Dear Monty, why do you dislike single line lunging? Monty's reply, "It is my strong belief that single-line lunging is the second worst piece of horsemanship on earth, second only to striking a horse to produce pain. I know this is a bitter pill for many people, but if you consider the matter properly, you can only conclude that I am right. In demonstrations, I consistently show how horses that have been single-line lunged for significant amounts of times are truly habituated to a pattern of travel that is injurious to mind and body. Every horse that is single-line lunged for more than 30 days or so will travel with its head to the outside of the circle. This one act sets the pattern for complete anatomical malfunction. Once the head is outside the circle of travel, the spine must then take a curve opposite to the circumference of the circle on which the horse is traveling. When the spine is curved inappropriately, then the pelvis attachment and the shoulders are acting in an uncoordinated fashion. What this means is that two main muscle masses of the horse's anatomy are working one against the other, while they should be assisting one another in harmonious effort. I use a surcingle with side reins that have elastic in them, schooling the horse to travel with his head directly in front or slightly inward to the circle. I gradually tighten the side reins until I achieve bilateral symmetry. At this point, I put two lines on the horse so that I eliminate the weight of one line attached to the horse's head. With two lines, I can easily control the rear leads so that the horse does not travel disunited."
For more of these insights into good horsemanship, go to www.montyroberts.com and click on the orange banner that says Get Free Horse Tips.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts, and I'm dedicated to training horses without pain. You can learn to do it too on my Equus Online University. Western, English, the beginner, or the advanced rider, it doesn't matter. You can connect with other students online too on our forum. And there's a new lesson every week. It's a lifetime of learning for you on my Equus Online University at MontyRoberts.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged too. And July, we have upcoming really quickly now, we have the Monty Special Training with a translation in Portuguese. That's July 17 through 21. And then right around that corner, we have August 1 through 5, a Monty Special Training, the one that he does annually at Flagazette Farms in California. And then August 22 through the 2nd of September, we have another, the second annual, Gentling Wild Horses course at Flagazette Farms. And then September 9, we have right there at Flag, we have a Friday Horse Sense for Leaders. And then we roll right into that weekend, September 10 and 11, with a Wild at Heart with Monty and Pat. And that's a fun weekend where we do lots of adventures. And then September 24 through 25, we have a Riding with Respect. That's where we take the join-up concepts and we say, what do those look like up in the saddle?
Do you ever do any video feeds of those?
You know, we haven't done that. Do you mean like a live streaming of it?
Oh, yeah, a little bit of live streaming or some video, because I'm very curious to see that.
We have filmed it, and we do have some riding lessons that come out of that for the Equus Online University, but we're actually toying with the idea of doing some live streaming from it, but it would be very limited, so just as a teaser,
show
what we're out there doing, because it's not very mobile when we do it, you know, with the live streaming, and the class is kind of mobile, so we can do part of the arena work and some of those things that
are
right there.
That would be great to be able to just tune in for a 5 or 10 minute bit of it here and there, just to get a visual of what happens. I think that would be very exciting.
It's one of my favorite things, Jen, because you just don't get to see Monty and Pat up in the saddle teaching very often. So it is fun and to have that feedback directly to the students right there of all levels too. We have people that are green riders, and then those people who go, I just don't know that much about Monty Roberts concepts, and I'm a good rider, but I want to know what does join up look like in the saddle.
So many people want to apply it to work in the saddle, and that's just awesome that you guys do that. And for everybody listening, if you couldn't remember all that when she said it in her little lovely voice, you can go to MontyRoberts.com and see all of this great information. He's got his schedule up there along with lots of other good stuff. Or you can call Flag Is Up Farm, 805-688-6282. 888. And for details about today's show, you can go to horsemanshipradio.com, where you can find links to today's guests, pictures, and lots more information. And we love your feedback. It helps us make this show better. So please follow us on Facebook at just search for Monty Roberts and comment there. And if there's things that you want to hear about on Monty Roberts' Horsemanship Radio show, let us know. Or you can follow him on Twitter. That's right, Monty Roberts tweets. It's Monty_Roberts. And go get that app. You can have all of the Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go by downloading the free Horse Radio Network app for iTunes, for your iTunes or Android. So do it today. It's quick, it's free, and it's easy.
Yeah, it's the best way. And many thanks to our sponsors, too. IFA.com, Omega Fields, and Equus Online University. Be sure to visit all the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.